other side of the street this morning and give you a different perspective on this miracle that we see. I want to talk about ordinary people. Ordinary people. My brothers and my sisters, there, I believe, is a grave misnomer that is circulating through the body of Christ and in many Christian circles that hinders the church from reaching individuals who sincerely have a desire to change and grow closer to God each and every day. It's when this notion that people don't fit into a certain category, or they've only had certain past experiences, and it's this perception that they are excluded from God moving through their lives because they don't fit in a certain mold. This false idea must be some type, that you must be some type of spiritual elitist, that you must be some type of, watch this, super spiritual individual in order for God to speak and to move through you. It is unbiblical, it is borderline hypocritical, and it gives a bad testimony for those of us who have been changed. Because it's hard to reach sinners and to reach those who are unchurched, which is the mission of the church, when they cannot relate to us and when they cannot see themselves as attaining the salvation and the love of God. This mindset is very, very grave because it calls those who are struggling to really feel accepted, those who are really to feel loved of God, it causes them now to feel like they are unworthy of God's mercy and of God's grace. However, if they only knew that God doesn't choose spiritual elitists, God doesn't necessarily choose those of us who have never, ever made mistakes, but God does his best work with ordinary people. See, I believe that titles and positions have masked the real mission for those of us who are in the Lord's church. Because we have a title, or because we have a position or function in the church, we have to try and act like we got our cord cut in the church. But if the truth was told, the Lord had to do some really tough work with you to polish you up and make you a deacon, and to polish you up and make you a worship leader. God had to take something that was ordinary and to put his extraordinary touch on it so that he can display you for his glory and for his glory alone. And if we were to be honest in here today, we can testify that Jesus specializes in ordinary folk. And I thank God for that, because I'm comfortable being around ordinary people. Oh man, when I'm around people who are just super spiritual, it just kind of makes me nervous. Okay, as Bishop Jake says, makes me itch, because I really can't relate to them, because what God has done in my life is that he's had to clean me up from some stuff. And I'm sorry, I can't forget where I came from. I can't forget how he had to wash me and how his mercy is there and his grace is there. And some people are looking at some of us saying, how can I ever reach that status, when if you would just tell the whole truth, you are really not where you should be. But you just thanking him that you're not what you used to be, that I'm just an ordinary person who gave my life to the Lord. In the old church, we used to sing a song that says, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And I believe that's how we ought to function, because if the truth is told, if God ever removes his hand off of you, we'll see you for who you really are. Oh, but because he has placed the blood of Jesus over you, some stuff has been washed away. Some stuff has been removed, and you haven't been delivered from everything, but every day with Jesus, I'm getting a little closer to what he wants me to be. And if the truth is told, I'm just an ordinary person. And this Bible that we read, it is replete with God choosing individuals who are ordinary. Choosing individuals who live in a real world with real problems, with real issues, but they serve a real God. See, the problem is many of us, we want to take credit for the good things that have been done in our life when the truth is that we can't take credit for it. God just worked something extraordinary and he did it on our behalf. And if you're in this room this morning, my assignment to you is that if you are looking for a miracle from God, I want to let you know you don't have to be an elitist. You don't have to know every scripture in the Bible. Oh, but if you would just present your life to God, that God will blow your mind and he will cause your ordinary world to become extraordinary. As we consider this passage of scripture this morning, this is the first miracle that Jesus performed in his earthly ministry. And I can't help but every time that I teach on the miracles of Jesus Christ, my mind always goes back to that 19th century British Baptist preacher, G. Campbell Morgan. Because G. Campbell Morgan said concerning the miracles of Jesus, and I quote, that every parable that Jesus taught was a miracle of instruction. And every miracle that Jesus wrought was a parable of instruction. What Morgan was trying to say was that in every miracle, there's a message. And in every sign, there's significance. That Jesus didn't just perform miracles to perform miracles, but inside that miracle, there's a message for everyday ordinary people. And so it was even in John chapter 2, when we see the birth of Jesus's ministry. Because here at this wedding in Galilee, there is a message for every person that's in here. And the message is that Jesus will intervene in the lives of ordinary people. That your last name doesn't have to be Kennedy or Rockefeller in order for Jesus to intervene in your life. But if you would just give him something to work with, Jesus specialized at taking nothing and making it something. Yeah, the Bible says it was the stone that all the builders rejected that had become the cornerstone. I want to let somebody know in here today, this may rub you the wrong way. You can never be too bad for God to use you, but you can be too good. You'll get that on the way home, that you can never be too bad, because even if he got to reach way down, he can still pick you up, polish you off, and use you for his glory. Oh, but when you think you are too good, when you're walking around with your nose in the air, and if it rains, you're going to drown, that Jesus says, what I have to do with you first is I have to humble you. I got to bring you down or cut you down to size so you can see who's really in charge. In this miracle here, I believe there's some elements that all of us can identify with. First of all, we all see the obvious. There is a wedding. Let the church say a wedding. There's a wedding, a wedding, a wedding. And all of this has spiritual significance because a wedding represents a time of excitement, a time of anticipation, a time of festivity. And that's just like our life. God wants our life to be exciting. He wants us to be anticipatory. He wants us to live a festive life. But not only is there a wedding, we also see that there's some wine. Mm-hmm. And the wine in this text represents a source of joy and a source of perpetual peace. And I know none of y'all have ever drunk wine before, but whenever you've had enough wine, it's a source, that's what they tell me, of joy. And it's a source of perpetual peace. This is what the Bible says. They had wine at the wedding. But then they not only what is the wedding or the wine, but there is some worry in this text. Because the Bible says they ran out of wine, and this is indicative of when your joy runs out. Because when you place and receive your joy from the wrong places, your joy will run out. And so as we consider this text this morning, I want to show you how the ordinary became extraordinary. Because the Bible says there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And the Bible says Jesus' mama was there. Look in verse number 1. And Jesus, watch this, and his disciples, are you reading your Bibles? They were invited to the wedding. They were invited to the wedding. See, the first thing you have to do to take your ordinary to extraordinary is you have to give Jesus an invitation. And that's what they did. They gave Jesus an invitation not to come to church, but they gave Jesus an invitation to come to a wedding, to come to a party. Now, let me help you, because we don't really understand what this means when they gave Jesus an invitation, because in Jewish tradition, they don't just have a one-day wedding. That if you was a virgin, you got married on a Wednesday, and then for the whole week, you had a party the whole week. Jewish folks know how to handle business, you know. And so Jesus got invited to come to the wedding, which lets me know that Jesus is not a recluse. Jesus is not antisocial. Jesus want to be with you more than just on Sunday morning. But if you don't invite him, he will not come. Because Jesus will not crash the party of your life. I wish I was talking to somebody in here today. He says, I want to be with you when you're at the office. I want to be with you in the classroom. I want to be with you when you're on the football field coaching. And I want to be with you in your social circles. He says, but you have to first invite me into your life. And that's what they did. They invited Jesus. They said, Jesus, you are welcome. And look at it. Jesus, the Lord of the world, is at a party, y'all. See, which lets me know Jesus like hanging around ordinary people. Because he say, I ain't going up in that party. That is not spiritual. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. No, the Bible says Jesus was up in there deep. He was in the party, y'all. They don't be tardy for the party. They probably had it. They probably, y'all know they was doing the bus stop. Y'all know they was doing all of that at the party for a whole week. Somebody had to. Jesus don't want to just be with you in church, but you can be saved and have fun with Jesus at the same time. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but Jesus says he wants an invitation to come into your life. Nudge your neighbor and say, baby, you better invite him. You better invite him. You better invite him for a whole week. Now, y'all know somebody had to bust some spades. Somebody had to throw some bones for a whole week. A whole week. He at the party. And the Bible says, watch this, that Jesus didn't crash the party. He was invited. And where is it in your life that you need to invite Jesus? My finances all messed up. Invite Jesus. My spouse acting a fool? Invite Jesus. My kids going bananas? Invite Jesus. My mind all messed up? Invite Jesus. Because the one thing I know is if you invite him, he will show up. And some of y'all got a testimony that when he show up, oh, he'll show out. He'll throw his weight around when you invite Jesus into your life. See, this is what I know. This is what I know, and it's here in the text, is that Jesus has to be invited, but the devil will come unannounced. Now, you got to invite Jesus, but you don't have to invite the devil. He just so uncouth that he'll show up. He'll show up without an invitation. And that's what happened in this text, because the Bible says Jesus was at the wedding. Watch this. And verse number 2 says, his mama came to him and said, Jesus, they done ran out of wine. The party has lost its joy. Because they done ran out of wine. Watch this now. I'm going to sneak you. Like a gangster in a nightclub. I'm going to sneak you. They done ran out of wine. Watch this now. Jesus is at the party, but they done ran out of wine, which symbolized the party or your life has lost its joy. Now, as I was reading this the other day, I said, how in the world did they run out of wine? And the reason they ran out of wine probably is because they had some people that showed up that was uninvited. Come on, some of y'all done threw a party before, and you know that some people you ain't give an invitation to, they just show up. Or the people you gave an invitation to bring more people. Like, where you bringing all them people into my party for? And what happens in life sometimes is some things show up that we didn't invite. Sickness show up. I done ran out of wine. Layoffs done showed up. I done ran out of wine. Oh, God. My children acting crazy. I done ran out of wine. And there's some folks in this place this morning that you're in here today, and your testimony really is, if you tell your real testimony, I done ran out of wine because some stuff done happened in my life that I didn't approve to happen. And because it happened, it has taken my joy. Because life will send you some things that you didn't invite. Loss of a loved one. Getting pregnant unexpectedly. Misplace of your priorities. I done ran out of wine. A relationship that ended, a divorce. And now I done ran out of wine. See, when these things happen that takes the wine out of our life, it's good to have Jesus on board. They invited him.